Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Confessions of a Founder. I'm your host, Alicia M. Campbell, and super excited to be here again to record another episode of my journey to building a six-figure business from, you know, scratch off the side of my desk and all the ups and downs and twists and turns that come with doing so. This episode, we are going to dive deep into finding the right people. And it's funny because when it comes to building a team, when it comes to scaling your business, finding the right people is everything. That becomes a key element to how you are positioned in your market. It becomes a key element to how you get your work done. It becomes a key element to how you enjoy your work. Finding the right people to do the things in your business that one, you don't have the time to do, or B, you know, don't have the skill set to do is so, so, so important. Like that could actually make or break the progress you have within a year of finding the right people and trying out different, you know, people profiles and experiences and, you know, skill sets. So really excited to dive deep and talk to you about finding the right people on your team. So for myself, when it came to culture shift HR, in the beginning, I was all over the place when it came to finding the right people. At the time, I was talking to a few individuals who had scaled their businesses, and I knew that I knew two things. One, I needed someone to run my back end. And back end is a fancy word, or maybe not so fancy word, is like your operations. So when you think about like your systems, maybe your website, your accounting software, like your back end to make all the things function and run. So I needed someone to run my back end. And two is I needed someone to like be my right hand, kind of like be my assistant or be like my admin to kind of just help with some of the low lift administrative tasks. And so when I sought out to first hire support, I really didn't know. I knew like a high level idea of what I wanted, but I didn't really know who to find or where to find these people. So as with a lot of us, when we start off hiring, it comes to referrals. So who do you know? How is that person doing for them? Are they successful and being good at their job and what they do for other people that you know? And so I went to my network, and that was the first way that I kind of got into the hiring kind of pool. Well, I went to my network and I said, hey, everyone, I'm looking for someone to handle my back end. So like an operations manager, an operations lead, someone to kind of just know what to do and can do it and doesn't need to like have any like hand holding. And then number two was an executive assistant, but I didn't need someone that was with me. I needed like someone virtual. So by having those two things at first and kind of putting that request out, I got a lot of referrals back and, you know, a lot of like names thrown at me, which was really overwhelming because, again, these are people that you hope do a good job in your business, that, you know, you're trusting the referral who passed this name on, that they, if they do a good job for them, they'll do a good job for me. And so you got to try. Like, I think the biggest thing with hiring is that you have to try something. You know, you're never going to get the perfect person. And we're going to talk about perfect people in a second. But you have to, one, have people that are with you where you're at in your business, which is really important. And two, that can also grow with you in your business. And that comes back to my note on like perfect people, because I actually come from a recruitment background. That's how I actually got my start in like the HR industry. I was a recruiter for a couple of staffing agencies before I went in-house and before I went on that HR pathway. And when I say you don't need the perfect person, what I mean is that you need the person based on, one, where your business is right now, and two, that can grow with your business. So what do I mean by that? First and foremost, if you're looking for someone that's a back-end person and you got like some, you know, low lift systems, maybe you have like, you know, a MailChimp system framework, or you have like your QuickBooks, or maybe you have like your project management system, you can use someone that is pretty familiar with those tools and can kind of get you the data, the insights, the reports, and things that you need quite easily. You don't need someone that has 10 years of experience in a project management system because their skill set is probably a little bit too advanced for what you need and might, you know, convolute things a little bit. Now, this isn't to say that that is everybody across the board, but what I'm saying is that if you're like, hey, I need someone who knows how to use Asana or ClickUp, you know, 2 years experience, setting it up for a team, delegating tasks, making sure tasks are completed, etc., that you could find someone quite easily without overcomplicating things. So that's what I did. I found my virtual assistant, who is still with me to this day, and I found my OBM, which is another, again, term for online business manager, which is another term for like operations manager. You are going to find a lot of terms in the world of work in terms of like finding people, staffing people. I would say if you're like, oh my gosh, Alicia, what are all these titles? Virtual assistant, executive assistant, OBM, operations person, lead manager, all the things, Google it. I would say find some core job descriptions that you can kind of leverage and utilize to help you streamline for yourself what exact skill sets, what exact experience you want this person to have. So that is always a good starting point because it says, okay, if you find an online job description, you can say, I want them to have this skill set. I don't want them to have this. I want them to have only 1 year experience of this, but five of this. So it kind of helps to pin down what you need when it comes to these roles. So that's kind of what I started off with. And that got me through my first, I would say, year at Culture Shift. And my OBM or my online business manager, operations person, she was a jack of all trades. So she would run all of my back end in a pretty good way that allowed things to kind of just run in a very smooth rhythm. And I kind of didn't have to think about it, didn't have to like be too immersed in that because systems is not my strong suit. Of course, I know how to use them, but in terms of setting them up, making them optimize, putting forms on websites to link to a CRM, like that is a whole other skill set that I did not want to spend time putting into when I wanted to get out and to start selling. Then with my virtual assistant, she was like my assistant plus did a lot of social media management, or actually not a lot, not a little, like all my social media management. And so she had some marketing experience, and with the marketing experience, she was able to really help to get a flow up and going with my Facebook, my Instagram, my Twitter, all these different things, and really help to get my presence out there more in a more consistent way, which is, as y'all probably know, important when it comes to social media. So that's kind of what I had for the first year at Culture Shift. And I realized, and I also hired like a marketing consultant to help with strategy and business development when it came to Culture Shift. I figured out by the end of the year that where we were going, I needed more of a specialist. So I noticed that, and it's so interesting how you watch things and then you don't realize how relevant they are until they're relevant for the time that you're in. So I saw this reel one time where the lady who was on the video was sharing how to get to seven figures, you have to move from generalists to specialists. And that always stuck with me. And I knew that as we grew, as we continued to get more clients, get more revenue, all those things, we would need specialists and not just generalists that can do all the things. And so I realized that in my first year, after my first year going full-time into my business, I started to need specialists. Maybe not a full 10 plus year experience specialist, but someone who had more specialty than the staff that I had. So I kept my incredible, virtual assistant, which is now my marketing lead at Culture Shift. Shout out to Bella. And I went on to hire my COO. I really needed to hire a COO. And what's really funny is that when it comes to my way of hiring, I know very traditional ways of hiring. You post a posting, you know, you collect resumes, you review the resumes, you set up job descriptions. You set up interviews. But then I realized that like there was something more to this. So the way that I actually hire, which is very interesting, is that I actually manifest the people that I need in my life. And you might be thinking, Alicia, what do you mean you manifest people? How does this work? What does this look like? We'll get into a whole separate session on spirituality and business and my journey in that. But for the sake of this podcast episode, the way that I manifested, really not just my COO, but my whole team was I first got really, really clear on what I wanted. So it was really evident based on the year that I had, kind of where the skill set was lacking and where I needed more robust support. So I created a job description and created like what I wanted culture shift to look like over the next 5 years and how this person would be pivotal in helping to make that a reality. I knew that they needed a, you know, an operational background, strategic background, they needed help with revenue operations. And I just poured everything of what I knew I needed this person to be and like their skill set and their attitude and their personality and what was going to work for myself and culture shift. Lo and behold, and you're going to see a pattern here, which is so funny as I share this story. Lo and behold, 2 days later, I'm in, I think, a Facebook group for operational professionals. And I see this girl, or I shouldn't say girl, like she's a little, like I see this professional, April, and she was a fractional COO. And I reached out and I said, hey, this is what I'm looking for. Would love to set up a call. We had a call. I think it was probably a Wednesday. So I had wrote my job description on the Monday. Did my research on the Tuesday, reached out to April on the Wednesday. We had a call, her and I, and I think by the Friday she was hired. Like that's how fast it happened because literally, and I kid you not, the exact job description of what I had put on the paper, that what I had put together, it was all within April's skill set and everything just aligned so beautifully. And it was just such divine timing. So it just kind of happened that way. In addition to where, when we hired Ariana, our HR advisor, very similar, put the job description together. I got, and this was, you know, even when I think about how my hiring has changed and the way that I do hire, it's like, you know, I put that job description together. I actually posted for this one because I didn't have a pool of people to pull from. And I saw her resume and I'm like, this is it. Like, this is her. Of course I talked to some other folks, but there was just my intuition telling me this is who you need to hire. And very same thing, met Ariana, fabulous HR advisor. And I think I made the offer the following week. So these things begin to happen where you have to really listen into your intuition. You really have to listen into what your gut is telling you. And I know you won't be saying, oh my gosh, Alicia, gut, like you're not supposed to hire with your gut. Like that's where bias is. And yes, that is where bias is. But if you understand that your gut is trained to not be, not to have bias, then it's something that you can actually begin to trust. So when it came to hiring my folks, not only was the timing of what I needed right, but it was the people that were coming into my life. Another amazing example of that is our partnership and strategic lead, Alexa. This one just blew my mind. And it was so funny because it was December and I had no intention of hiring going into 2024. Hiring like end of 2023 going into 2024. I was like, you know, we'll save all of our hiring for the next year and see how everything pans out. Alexa had emailed me not only once, but like 4 times on all my email accounts and ones that I didn't even know that were out there. And she just had such an incredible energy that I literally felt through her email. I was super swamped. I picked a random date on the calendar, a random time. I said, let's meet, let's chat. Because when she reached out, it was like she had heard about me. She's like, I love the brand. I love what you're doing. I want to be a part of the team, or can I support you? Like anything at all, you know, I want to be on the Alicia team. And at the time, I didn't have a need. Like when I saw the email, I was like, okay, you know, I'll have a coffee chat with her. And, you know, fast forward, we talk, and it was literally perfect to the T of a partnership lead that I needed for the business that I had outlined 2 days before. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm putting all these incredible things into the universe of what I need and who I need. And then they just come and intersect in my life at just the most beautiful times. And now she's a part of the team. So I say that when it comes to hiring, yes, of course, have your basics of like a job description, know what you want, know the type of skill set, all those things, but learn to trust yourself, learn to lean into who is talking to you, what they need, how can they support you? Are they a good, you know, culture add to yourself, to the company, to the rest of the team, to the things that you need to get done? So it can be a very daunting task, but when you take away the, I'm supposed to do it like this, and you actually just lean into how you connect and talk to people and just have a conversation, it actually becomes really, really easy. And when it comes to the interviews themselves, I do follow, you know, pretty standard interview questions, but I add a little twist because, again, I can ask you questions and everyone's, you know, answered these questions a million times, you know, name a success, name a challenge, you know, what's your biggest, you know, success or skill set or whatever. And it's like, I don't, those things are important, yes, but I'm like, where's the person in those answers? So usually I just start off by saying, tell me about you, you know, tell me about your story. What do you want to do? What scares you? Like, what excites you about this opportunity? What do you want to learn from this? Where do you want to grow from this? And really just have an honest and open-hearted conversation, which in an interview can be hard to do because this person is trying to like put on their best and, you know, look good for you and, you know, get their best opportunity. But it's important that they feel comfortable being in front of you and being themselves, because that's who's going to show up every day. So I'm always like, in an interview, don't worry about if you mess up. This is, you're not getting graded on this. This is not something that is, you are, we're probably even going to remember 5 years from now. I just want to have a conversation. Whether or not this works out, something's going to come of this, and I want to help you and you can help me and all those kind of great things. So I really just try to get to know the person, get to know what they like, don't like, all of those things, because all that matters in what they do for the job and how they come to life as part of the team. In addition to that, I also have been doing human design. So for those of you who may not be familiar with human design, it's very similar, or I would say it's in the vanity of like a Myers-Briggs test or a StrengthFinders test, but it really actually talks about the makeup of the person. I'm probably not doing it justice in how to describe it, so I encourage you to look it up. But human design really helps to outline how this person's energy and who they are and how they come to life happens. So for myself, I am a person that needs to do things that light me up, that excite me. And my intuition is a gut intuition, an emotional intuition. I have to feel something in order to say yes to it. But others might have different, you know, ways of having their own intuition and how their energy shows up and how they like to work. And so I've been getting my team to fill out human design, you know, outlines, because that helps us to know how we can work together. If you're a person that's like, I like to be alone, I like to be heads down and then present everything all at once, human design can help you outline that. Or if you're like, I need to talk about everything and get really nitty gritty with someone and then go and work, it helps you outline that too. And then you could see how people in your team work together. So I started to utilize this as a great tool because it helps me to understand how I need to show up for my team and how my team is going to show up for me. So that has been definitely a learning curve, because we do talk, you know, usually in the world of work about Myers-Briggs, StrengthFinders and things like that. But we don't talk too much about the woo-woo or the spirituality elements of what makes up a person. And I'm starting to integrate that into my business a little bit more. And it's just been a really amazing journey, because I'm getting to know, one, my staff gets to know themselves even deeper, and then I get to know them a little bit differently as well, which makes all for just a great culture, a great camaraderie, and really just a great team vibe, which I absolutely love. And I think when it comes to hiring and the team, it takes time. It takes time to find your people. And it's also, you have to recognize when it's time to unfortunately let somebody go, which happens. And, you know, in the world of work, we see letting somebody go as very negative and, you know, a bad thing. And I'm not saying that it isn't. You know, I never want someone to just be let go from a job or fired from a position. But you have to recognize, though, when your company is growing, especially when you're a startup like myself, and there's only so many resources, you know, there's only so much work, and you have to have people that are flexible, that are nimble. Being able to recognize when someone's skill set is not growing with your company, or is being stagnant and your company's growing and they're not leaning into their role, that's a sign. And as a CEO, as a founder, as someone who's running an organization, recognizing that is super duper important, because you can really have powerful conversations when you begin to recognize those signs. For myself, when I notice mistakes starting to happen, and I don't mean regular mistakes, mistakes happen all the time. What I mean is when a mistake happens more than 3 times, there's been follow-up, there's been coaching, there's been support, and things aren't kind of getting better. this is really important to recognize because one, your person might be overwhelmed, which happens all the time. They might be getting overwhelmed. They might just have, you know, they have other stuff on their plate. That's totally fine. You know, that life happens. Two, they're doing a skill that is a little bit above their capacity, that's a little bit above what they're capable of. And three, they may have lost the love for the job. Regardless of whatever three reasons it is that things are now happening in the way that they're happening, it warrants a conversation. Sitting down with that person to say, hey, I've noticed this has been taking place over the past couple of weeks. You know, I just want to check in. Is everything okay? How can I support you? Do you need more training, coaching, whatever it is that you need? Because in the short of it, the person probably just needed a little bit of a beat. Maybe they needed a day off or two to just kind of, you know, work through whatever was happening and then kind of come back full steam ahead. But sometimes you'll realize in those conversations that people are like, you know, as much as I love this job or as much as I love being here, this is outside of my capacity, or I'm being stretched in a way that I don't feel comfortable or confident in my skill set. And then you as a CEO have to ask yourself, okay, do I get them training? Do I get them support? Like, what does that begin to look like? And then, is that going to drain resources on other things? And then three is that sometimes the role just outgrows them, and that is totally fine. That happens. Sometimes people are comfortable in their lane, and when it gets up beyond their lane, they feel like a fish out of water. And I say that to say that as CEOs, and I'm preaching to myself here, we can get very uncomfortable having those tough conversations because they suck. They really, really, really suck. But by doing that, you can open up a dialogue that allows your person to feel like, okay, it's not that they don't want me here. It's not that I'm not putting forward great effort, but maybe this role has grown or expanded beyond my capacity. And maybe there's another way I can lean in, or maybe there's another way that I could venture and find something else to do. It starts that conversation that allows a person to make a decision. Do I want to be here? And do I want to keep putting in the work in a way that's going to align to the needs and the work of the organization? So don't be afraid to have that conversation. Don't be afraid to, be honest with yourself. I know with, you know, this, I'm currently working with my second, my COO, April, but she wasn't my first, you know, operations person. And that other person, well, I had to have the tough conversation, and it was something I avoided for a month. I knew in my gut I had to have that conversation. I knew that this was getting in a place for her that wasn't aligning to her zone of genius. And I had out of respect for her and out of respect for my business, we had to have that conversation. But what I did was I referred her to tons of other people because she was good for what she did at a level that I needed her for at that time. I think I referred her to 5 other people, 4 of them hired her, and she had a full roster of clients because she was a fractional operations manager. And she was very grateful. And I was grateful that I could help her and I could, you know, continue to help support her business as she was supporting mine. So not all these things have to have a sad ending. You know, sometimes when you keep the wrong person in the seat for too long, it actually starts to have a detrimental effect on your business. And as much as it hurts or as much as it's uncomfortable, having a real conversation, having a heart-to-heart is so important in times like these. And you're going to find that you're going to get exact more clarity on what you need. You're going to get better clarity on the next person you need to hire, and you're going to get the right support. And that's okay. You know, when you think about large organizations like an Apple or an Amazon, when they started out, you know, besides the CEO, the person who was just maybe getting shipments out, is that the same person that's doing logistics or chief logistic officer at Amazon? Probably not, because they do things at such a rapid and global pace that probably that person who started out of the garage isn't in that capacity anymore, or they've moved on to another opportunity. So signs of growth can show up in different ways. It could show up in revenue. It could show up in the growth of your team. It could show up in the change out of your team. And recognizing those things and not beating yourself up about it is important. And recognizing those things is super important as well. So that is kind of insight into my experience with, you know, growing a team, identifying a team. And I think that when you are in a space where you start to build your team, integration is so, so, so important. It's important because what you need to recognize is that, okay, great, cool. You found your person. I found, you know, 4 incredible people that work and support my business every single day. But them doing their job and them actually being a part of a team and creating culture, totally two different things, because you have to remember, a culture is the creation of people coming together through aligned mission, values, and beliefs in the work that they do. What that means is that if someone is working on marketing, they need to feel like they're a part of the culture, because their marketing is helping to create, you know, the outward branding of the business. If you have someone who's in operations, they're making sure the back end is working, but they're also contributing to the culture because it's helping to keep things organized and streamlined and all of those great, amazing things. So how does this all come together? How do these people even begin to work together and connect together and communicate together? That's another thing in and of itself. And this is something, and I even preach this to my clients, you have to be so intentional about creating culture. So intentional. I don't care if it's you and one person. I don't care if it's you and 10,000 people. You have to be intentional about culture. And the reason is because when people come together and they communicate and they work together and they collaborate, you have to recognize two things. One, people who do work, they work, although we say in the world of work, don't take things personally, you have to remember that when people put their time into an activity or their time into work, that is them in the form of their output. It is personal to them. That's them saying, I'm doing a good job, right on the paper. It's them presenting their best selves. So it's hard to not take work personally, because it's you. It's you showing up. It's you being your best. And number two, you have to recognize that the way that your culture is actually going to manifest itself on the outside as much as it's going to manifest itself on the inside, which is super important. So if you're chaotic on the inside, you know, your team members aren't getting along, communication isn't strong, things are falling through the cracks, that's really important to know, because that means that's what your clients are experiencing. So if you can align your culture to be cohesive, smooth, enjoyable, fun, exciting, innovative, whatever it is you want your culture to be associated with, that's the feeling your clients are going to get as well. So how do I do that? I create transparency and communication. That is A1. You have to communicate with your team. You have to communicate and share the vision. You have to share the mission. You have to share progress updates. You have to expect and relate what the expectations are so that they can go out and fulfill those needs. Number two, you have to create space for them to talk to one another. Whether that's having a social Friday call, whether that's having sub-team meetings to talk about marketing or operations or finance, whatever that might be, but bringing people together to connect and communicate on things that relate to one another, super duper, super important, meaning relate to one another in terms of their jobs. That is key, because they are going to take your cues from you. If you are transparent, if you are open, if you are honest, if you are relatable, they are going to let their guard down and they are going to feel relatable and open and honest and all of those key things, which is so important when you're building a culture. So creating those opportunities for people to come together, share who they are, share their likes, their dislikes, the way that they like to work, all of those key things, super important. Creating space for them to come to you and ask you questions about, you know, what's going on in the business. How can they lean in? What does support look like? All of these things come together to create a beautiful, dynamic culture that allows them to show up in a way that you need them to, and a way that allows them to be their authentic self as well. So when you think about how do I create a culture, I want you to think about how can you create a space where people feel vulnerable, but they can feel they can bring their true selves to work, where they can be open, where they can be honest, where they can do their best. And honestly, you as the CEO or the founder, to get out of their way to do it. I had to recognize this the hard way, where I was realizing I was getting in the way of my team members. I was getting in the way of not allowing them to do their best. And I was probably shooting down ideas way before they even had a chance to sprout. And the moment I recognized that, one, I apologized because that was never my intention. And two, I got out of the way. So I say that to say your team is going to mimic and mirror the actions that you show to them, to one another as a group. And number two is that you have to be able to be open and vulnerable yourself in order to expect that from a team, in order to expect that from others around you. That is how it goes. Someone is not going to fully be able to be open and sharing if they feel like you're closed off and not communicative. So create the space by being the example and then invite others in to partake with it as well. That was a lot. And all of it is so important, and all of the things coming together is so key. But I think the biggest thing to take away from this episode is to recognize that unless you try, you won't really give yourself an opportunity to find the right people for your team. I think from there, understanding that to find the profile that fits where your company is, where your need is right now, and not to overhire in hopes this person's going to do miracles, but being really honest with yourself to focus on the skill set you need now versus what you need a year from now. And also someone that can grow with you and be flexible with you and really help to support your team and the growth in all amazing ways. And then I would say three is, don't shy away from those tough conversations. Your team is going to grow. Your business is going to grow. And as that happens, you're going to have new needs. You're going to have new responsibilities. And finding that there's people on your team that may not be able to grow with you, it's good to know that sooner rather than later. And having those conversations helps to uncover that in a way that allows there to be respect on both ends of the party. So I hope this insight and I hope these tools or tips, I should say rather, helped you and gave you some insight on how we've grown at Culture Shift. Remember, I started off just me, myself, and I, and now we have a team of five, which is rocking and rolling, and we're firing on all cylinders, which is amazing. So it took time, it took practice, it took me having to ask myself really hard questions, but in the end, it was worth it because I've now created a framework that allows me to hire people that really align with my business, that really align with me, and really align with the path that we're going forward on. So it's all gravy. With that, we are going to end this episode here. Thank you so much for listening and, you know, sharing as always a part of this journey. Please like, comment, share, subscribe, all of those things on our platforms to hear the latest drop on our next episode. Where we're going to be talking a little bit more about me and my journey in all of this as well. So thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see y'all soon.